Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Thank you, Father God, for Quinton, Lord, and Lord, the message that you've placed on his heart, Father. And Lord, that as he speaks these words that you've given him, Lord, that, Lord, your spirit will just flow from his lips, Father, in a mighty way, Lord. Lord, that you'll touch hearts, Father, that you'll soften hearts, Lord. And Lord, that you'll plant seeds that will be rooted deep within us, Lord. We ask that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bradley. Morning, everyone. I just want to say what Mark did now to invite people to volunteer yourself for prayer, for healing, is biblical. And you know, this week I felt to put it on the main church group because I heard God clearly say. Now I'm booming. I heard God clearly say that if anyone is sick, that there was people out there. Not one person contacted me. I don't know if they contacted the other elders. But guys, we've got promises in the Word. We need to appropriate them. Don't sit there and suffer in silence and not stretch out your hand in faith. So act on that. Okay. So this morning, what I'm going to talk to you about, God spoke to me somewhere in February. I see my date here originally is February. Secrets of successful living in an end time world. What is that? Is it something that we need to know about? I'm sure you all want to know the secrets of successful living. But I suppose success is defined in terms of different parameters. Some people might think success is financial success or stature or whatever it is. But this is success as God would define it. So we are warned in Scripture, and remember, all Scripture is God-breathed. And Elsa sent me a word this morning just before the meeting saying that she had a clear picture from God of this picture of a sword, and that the sword is the Word. And if I paraphrase what she said, that without it, we're living in vain, and that we need to know how to use our swords. So thank you, Elsa, for that, because it really ties in with this, that we're working and relying on Scripture here this morning, and we're going to overcome and have success through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 warns us. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. He says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times." Most of my text I'm taking this morning from the New Living Translation, because I think it just explains to us, as I've checked different translations, the way it comes across there. He says, "Know this, we will be living in very difficult times." So we've got no projector. Okay. It was there. Okay. I won't worry about that. In Daniel 9:26, we actually looked at this this week in our life group. It's Daniel's prophecy about end times, but I want to read the last sentence of that. The angel said to Daniel, "The end will come like a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time until the end." And that time he was talking about was the death of Jesus. That's when the prophecy. So the window of time from 30 AD to today and to the very end, which is still in our future, we haven't got there yet, that it will come like a flood. And a flood, as you know, if you've ever seen a river come down in flood, as I've seen in the Kruger Park, one moment it's a trickle, an hour later it's a torrent. So when the prophecy says it will come like a flood, the things we're seeing around us will only get worse. The challenges will become harder. We're all well versed with what's going on in the news right now. Matthew 24 verse 7 says, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Those are not pleasant. I think there's an island, I can't remember where it is, and I've even forgotten the name of it, but that island in the Pacific, I think it is, that's just been spewing out Tonga. No, that was a recent one. There was one before that from last year. It's just continually, it's formed a new landmass as the volcano has gone into the sea. And in verse 11 to 14, many false prophets, and this is where some of the dangers really come from, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people, and sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. That statement should scare us. Many false prophets, they're going to think that you're in a church. You're going to think that you're watching something on YouTube that's about the Bible, but you may not even know, because they are there to deceive you. The enemy has put them there. It looks good. And then obviously famines and earthquakes. Then sin will be rampant everywhere. I think we can see that. This is not a study on end times, but I wanted to lay a foundation that the times we're living in are, as Timothy was told, very difficult times. If we look at the things going on, there's a lot of extreme pursuits of many people, from governors and heads of countries, heads of companies, increased crime, white-collar crime, frauds in the billions, LGBTQ2+ now. I don't know how many more letters they want to add to the two that God said, male and female, but they will carry on. Putin's war in the Ukraine, justified by his twisted hypocritical views and his agenda. Watching a speech last night that he said a day or so ago, I could see the deception is there. He honestly believes he's doing the right thing. He's deceived. Terrorism, extremism, the war on Israel. I don't know if you guys watch any of the news on Israel, but daily in Iran, they burn flags of Israel. They hate them with a passion. They are so desperate to get nukes into Iran. That's an ongoing thing that you've seen, because the first time they get them, they're going to point them at Israel. Crime, as we know it. And then the world's obsession with self. Self-enrichment, self-actualization, self-this, self-that. We've even got the selfie. I think more photos are taken with a selfie than facing the other way. What drives all of this? What did Paul warn the Ephesians about, which stands today as a warning and an encouragement? This is the main text for today, Ephesians 4:22. He said, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Who must do it? You, me. We have to throw it off. And it's the old sinful nature. If you look at the NIV text, the words are slightly different. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Like physically take it off, put it down there. Which was corrupted by its deceitful desires. Deceit comes from the word deception. Deceitful desires. Desires that are born out of deception. King James talks about the old man, which is corrupt, and deceitful lusts. So there's two things that come out there. They are lust and deception. So Ephesians 4:22 is teaching us from Paul that these are key. So every time you hear the word lust, a lot of people will just think, they're talking about sexual problems, sexual challenges. No. Lust is much broader than that. Definitions from the dictionary.com, it is an intense sexual desire or appetite, but it is also an uncontrolled and illicit desire or appetite, a passionate or overmastering desire or craving. Have you ever said, I'm craving McDonald's or I'm craving this? That's a lust. Not saying it's wrong, but you see, lust is born out of trying to satisfy the flesh. Not just sexual sins. I want this. I want that. I must have this. I've got to have this. I want people to think a lot of me. I'm worrying what people think of me. I'm worrying who I am, whether I've achieved certain things. It's everything of the flesh that we desire that's driven by a simple, sinful nature called lust. And we're born with it. It's that thing that we were told to put off our old self. That's what it is. Then the second word, deception. What does deception mean? The act of causing someone to accept as true or valid, which is false or invalid. So simple. In one word, deception is a lie. And when you are deceived, you believe the lie. These two combined are given as a summary of the root of all human behavior deprived of the Holy Spirit. Sinful nature can be summarized in two words, lust and deception. And they go hand in hand. So lust, you could say, is the insatiable desire for things, people, status, stature, pleasure. And deceiving is believing the lie so much that we act on it and live on the basis of it being true. We pursue things because we think that that thing we're pursuing is truth. We've been deceived. Combine these two, and you have the world craving for every kind of pleasure, personal pursuit, believing that these things are correct, justified, that there's no other way to be. And everything, including the lust, is justified based on the lie. If you look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 to 8, that's continuing on that verse that I read earlier, that there will be difficult times, the end times. From verse 2, it says, "For people will love themselves and their money, be boastful and proud, scoffing at God." I'm just reading some of the highlights. "They'll be unloving, unforgiving, slandering others, no self-control, hating what is good, puffed up with pride, betray their friends," like we're seeing in Russia and Ukraine. "Love pleasure rather than God. Act religious." So I'm more worried about what people think that I'm a Christian than I'm really being a Christian. "Reject the power that could make them godly." Paul says to Timothy, stay away from people like that. My goodness, that's staying away from almost the whole world. Not so? So we know what the problem is. We know what it looks like. But what do we need to do? I had a picture as I was preparing, and I saw this person drowning, almost like someone who maybe jumped off the Titanic or something, and just going down. But as soon as you have a life buoy floating on the water, you can cling onto that. And in a sense, pull yourself up. That's what God is throwing us. Without Him, we're just going to go down. relying on him, on what he said, is like hanging onto that life buoy and actually getting life back. Ephesians 4:23, that's after the verse 22 that we just said, he gives us, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So that lust and deception that we're supposed to put off, how? Let the Spirit. Who has to do it? We have to. We have to. You've all got front doors in your home, I hope. So when someone comes to your house, you let them in. If you don't let them in, they don't come in. God doesn't break into your house. He won't break into your heart. He'll knock until his fingers are blue. But if you don't let him in, he's not coming in. The devil works different. Be careful. But God waits for us to let him in. And when he does that, when we allow him, he then helps us to renew our thoughts and our attitudes. Because our thoughts and our attitudes are where the root of the problem comes. That's where the lust comes and the deception. We're going after these things. We're chasing after them. And they're not good for us. But it's based on here. Every single thing you see in the world today, every clever invention started as a thought. Every sin was conceived in the mind. And every good deed and every miracle that happened started with someone willing in their mind to have the attitude of Christ. This is the battleground. The antidote given by God, the Father, through Paul, is as simple as the deception. The enemy tries to do with us and use our human nature to fuel the lust and justifies these. So the enemy knows what he's got. It's like if you're going to bake or cook, you can only cook with the food that's in the kitchen. The devil's got a cooking plan, and his cooking plan to cook up deceit and lies and deception, all the ingredients are there in your human nature. So when our thinking is based on our reasoning and our wisdom, then the depravity sets in. And our attitude to life, our attitude to other people, can change if it's governed by the Holy Spirit. So an unwritten rule book written in our hearts, it filters everything that's happening to us. That's everything incoming. That's our attitude. And our actions and our words and our thoughts is everything outgoing. Notice something. This is not something we can fix. We cannot fix it. If we do, there's a good Afrikaans word. We get a chamors. Okay. Let the Spirit is the solution to overcoming our human nature problem. So the first step is recognizing our human weakness and depravity. Don't think we have it all together. Doesn't matter who you are, myself included. If you ever think you've arrived, you've just left. You've just started down the road that you shouldn't be going down. So let's look at Noah. Genesis 6 verse 8. It says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Such a simple statement. Why? Because he was living with the right attitude toward God in a depraved world at the time. No different to what you and I are going through right now. In Genesis 6, 11 to 12, God says, and now God saw the earth had become corrupt. Notice that's the same word that was used to describe our human nature, corrupt. Corrupt means destroyed, not like it was planned. And was filled with violence. God observed all the corruption in the world, for everyone on the earth was corrupt, except Noah. Jesus, in Matthew, refers to the same thing about what was happening at the time. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties, weddings, right up to the time of Noah entered his boat. Not that those things are wrong, but remember, he just, we're told in Genesis, it was corrupt. So those were depraved parties, debauched affairs, with a complete manifestation of lust and deceit. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. A clear warning for us. That's why the story of Noah is so important today. It's not just something that happened thousands of years ago. And it did happen. Many people will try to argue it away because it doesn't sound like makes sense. But it did happen because the Word says it. Don't be deceived. So the word to describe them was ambivalent. I don't care. That was the attitude. I don't care. So the Holy Spirit is required to fix this, to renew. I'll put that word down in my notes. Renew in capitals. The word renew means make new. Replacing the old for new. Just like an animal, when it's got a shell that's now done, it's finished. What does it do? It discards it. You've seen hermit crabs climb out of their shells, and then they go and climb in a bigger one. Or you've seen crayfish, they grow a new shell over the old one. There's lots of animals that do that. And that picture of discarding the old shell, that's what we should see from Ephesians 4:22. Put off the old self, because that was governing you to destruction. Throw off our old sinful nature, our former way of life. So let's look at lust. It drives many actions. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9 to 10 says, but people who long to be rich lust for money, fall into temptation, are now trapped. So the lust means you get trapped. When you're trapped, you can't get out. By many foolish and harmful desires. Harmful desires. Another word for lust. Harmful to who? To you and me. That plunge them into ruin and destruction. So it has an outworking in ruin and destruction. And they have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. If you wander from the truth, no one knowingly follows a lie. If you get lost when you're driving, did you intend to drive lost? No. You followed somewhere where you thought was that person's house or whatever, and you realized, oh, now I'm lost. So you were driving thinking you're going the right way. This is exactly what we do. You think you're going the right way. But they wandered from the true faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Romans 1, verse 21, quite a bit of Romans 1, it's like a mirror of looking at the world today, and you think Paul wrote that nearly 2,000 years ago to the Romans. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God is like. Foolish ideas. Their minds became dark and confused, becoming utter fools. Jumping down to verse 25, they traded the truth for a lie about God. And they worshipped and served things that were made by humans. And then it says, God abandoned them to their shameful desires. If you don't want God, He's not going to force you. But you are going to suffer consequences as a result. Even women turned against their natural way to have sex and instead indulged with sex with others. And men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Skipping down. Summary there. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. My goodness. That's like looking at the devil's array of what he can dish out. And the scriptures including everything that's there. Every kind of wickedness. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. What a list. But that list describes lust. All of those things driven by lust. They invent new ways of sinning. Disobey their parents. For the young people listening here today and the old people, it's a promise in the word. If your parents are still living, we need to honor them. And refuse to understand, breaking their promises, heartless, no mercy. They know God's justice requires those things, those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. You know, when someone's doing something wrong, they don't want to be the only one. They'll try and take as many people with them as possible. They come in, this is a good thing. And so they coerce people into it. Notice how lust and desires for things that will fall away is linked to deception. People wanting what is not good or right, but thinking it's wise. So what are the consequences of deception? To answer this now, so we've looked at lust. We understand it's pretty much in a summary, every kind of wickedness is driven by it. But that's coming from our human nature. The fact that we pursue that comes out of deception. Now, what's the challenge with deception? How does the devil succeed so easily with deception? Let's look at Joshua, a story you might remember. 9 verse 3 to 6. But when the people of Gibeon, maybe I should just do a 1 minute quick summary here. You remember the Israelites were told, go into the land, possess the land, and destroy everything. I will actually cover that just now in Numbers. So Gibeon was one of the towns in Israel that was marked for destruction, along with every other town that was an enemy of God. So the people of Gibeon hear that they've slaughtered another town, and they say, the people given heard what Joshua did to Jericho and Ai. That's two towns. These guys are on a warpath. They resorted to deception to save themselves. They resorted to what? Deception. A scheme of the enemy. Who is behind it? The devil. Who does he use? People. Watch what happens. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered sandbags, making them look like they'd been around for a long time. Old, patched wineskins. They put on worn-out patched sandals and ragged clothes. Guys, this is the Hollywood of Israel thousands of years ago. They dressed up for the occasion. And the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel, just a couple of hours away, they made it look like they'd been on the journey for days or years. They told Joshua and the men, we have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us. A lie. Roll back. Numbers 33 verse 50 to 52. What were they told? When they camped near the Jordan River in the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all people, not some of them, all people living there. You must destroy all their carved and molten images and demolish all their pagan shrines. But if you fail to drive these people out in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you to live, and I will do to you what I plan to do to them. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 to 6, just skipping down there, the seven nations of Israel are listed. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all the ites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you to conquer them, you must destroy them completely. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. Underlined. You can underline it too. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Let your daughters and sons marry their daughters, for they will lead your children away to worship other gods, and the anger of the Lord will burn against you and quickly destroy you. Wow. They had this. They knew this. This was scripture. What happened? Go back to where they approached Joshua, Joshua 9, verse 7. The Israelites replied to these Hivites. Who are they? Hivites. Are they listed there? Yes. The sixth one that I listed in Deuteronomy. Hivites. These are definitely the same people that you're supposed to destroy. Joshua says, how do we know you don't live nearby? What's the answer? For we cannot make a treaty with you if you do. They replied, we are your servants. But who are you? Joshua demanded. Where do you come from? They answered, another clue he should have picked up on. Your servants have come from a very distant country, and we heard about the might of the Lord your God and all he did in Egypt. They didn't have YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all those things in those days. They had nothing. How did these guys hear about that from a distant land? And yet they rocked up right there. So the answer to Joshua's question would have been so simple. By asking God. Deception is prevented by asking God. Or as in the Psalms we hear about, in Samuel actually, inquiring of God as David did. Nine times it's recorded in Samuel that he inquired of God. I'll give you those verses just now. They did not inquire of God, and they got deceived. The very thing that there were promises. God is a God who honors his word. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. If he says, I'm going to do to you what I would have done to them. And the devil manages to ensnare you and entrap you. God doesn't say like we would think as humans. Yeah, but you know, we didn't know. Come on. I mean, give me a break. You know, we were caught out. No. Look what happens to them. They suffer the consequences for years. And in fact, you know, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. They only reoccupied Israel in 1948. And they were banished to other lands. Right now, many of the Jewish people are living in Ukraine being bombed. You're seeing right now the fulfillment of stuff that's happening that was linked back to this very thing right here. Years and years and generations of consequences from deception because people don't ask God. We don't ask God. So the key point is that deception is used by the enemy to gain an advantage. This is like a chess game where you can't see 200 moves ahead. The devil can, but God can see 201 or 1,000 moves ahead. But we can only see 2 or 3. We think we've got this. Other forms of deception, Jacob and Esau. I'm not going to quote any scriptures here, but very simply, Jacob was promised things prophetically. And people resorted to ways to wangle it, deception and lies, to get what God had promised. Do you think God's not capable of doing what he promised, even though he became the second born? Abraham and Sarah. Another example. God promised something. just because of impatience and whatever. Now we'll make a plan for God because he obviously doesn't know what's cutting here. Let's fix it for him. People, when you take things into your own hands, when you're not serious in your heart about searching God for the answer because you may not like what he's going to say, then be careful because you've already been deceived. David inquired of the Lord. You want to go and read it? Check. There's a number of them in 1 Samuel 23, also in 1 Samuel 30, in 2 Samuel 2, 2 Samuel 5, and 2 Samuel 21. If you didn't get those, you can come and get them afterwards. But there's 9 instances there in those chapters. And David inquired of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. There was one time he didn't. And he ended up with Bathsheba. But he learned from that. So there's some good thing out of that. Just because of whatever might have happened. Just because we might mess up in the future. Turn quickly back. It doesn't mean to say that it's all lost. You don't have to listen to another lie of the devil that says, you see, you've messed up now. You've got no hope. One of those in 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, I want to quote, David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after the band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes. Go after them, you will surely recover everything that was taken from you." It might have seemed obvious, but he still took the step to inquire of God. And then we read in Acts 13, 22. What does God say about David? He calls him a man of my own heart. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to." People, we have to understand we are at a disadvantage as humans because we are born human. We weren't born divine. None of us are Jesus Christ. Never will be. And we have those limitations, but we have a God in heaven who is all-powerful, all-knowing. And if we just humble ourselves, we will get that victory. So beware. Don't do what everyone is doing. Don't do what seems right to you. Don't follow what everyone says is right. Don't be afraid to be the only voice for or against something. And don't bow down to fear or be driven by fear. Those are just some of them. John the Baptist told the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they came to watch him baptizing, he says to them in Matthew 3 verse 8, "Prove by the way that you live that you have repented and turned repented of your sins and turned to God," which really means live and act and carry yourself in a way that proves you're a follower of Jesus. A disciple, one who has decided to remain in the discipline of being a believer. This proves to others that you, and it's actually a witness. Many try to prove what or who they are for Christ by what they say. The comment from John was saying that we need to go around to make sure others are thinking we're a believer. It's not about what others think. So often we are deceived as believers that as long as others think I'm okay, then everything is sharp. But we forget to worry about the one that it really matters with is God. What does God think? And Jesus calls the Pharisees, who were so worried about what others thought, they were so worried about the religious facade. He says, "What sorrow awaits your teachers," Matthew 23, "of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are whitewashed tombs. Beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness, lusting after status." They wanted to be the people that everyone thinks these are the real McCoy. These are the main men of Israel. And how different is it today? You know, people are running after power and all these things. But God says to us through the scriptures, Jesus talking, no one will notice what you, when you are fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. What you do in private, God will reward you. It's not about having it out there so everyone can see. So this is the challenge with deception. There are consequences. When you look at the Gibeonites, what they did and what they caused for Israel, it was years after. They were woven into the history. If you go and read, you'll see that Gibeonites were actually in the army. They did fight. But Joshua was required to honor his word. They couldn't kill them. And in fact, some Gibeonites were murdered in Saul's time. And as a consequence, some of Saul's family died because they broke their covenant. Made under deception, but they had to live by it. So do you see, if we get deceived, we might end up doing things or being stuck in things or even on a career path that could have long consequences if we're not raptured before then. So people, this thing of lust, wanting things, and the deception that allows us to follow these things, those are dangerous. So to close, it's a call to action. What is things we must do? Well, the first thing is John 3:3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Everything I'm talking about today, the very first step, if you haven't taken that step, you better do it. Have you really surrendered your life to God? Otherwise, you've got no hope at all of succeeding in dodging the lies and deception of our sinful nature. They're going to get you every time. Because we cannot get out of this thing by good works. Second thing, Mark 16:16 says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. It's quite a lot in there. If you refuse to believe what the scriptures are telling you today, this word here is saying you'll be condemned. That's not what we want. God wants to encourage us. He has so much for us. It's like the tears in heaven are rolling because his word has gone out. His pleas have gone out to his people, to anyone. He even loves Putin. But Putin doesn't know that and is deceived. And that's why he stays where he is and the way he is. And there are many others like him. So if you haven't been baptized, in obedience to the word today, come and be baptized. We're doing it after the meeting, as you heard. Live by faith, not by sight. Don't go by what you see. Go by what you believe. Stand on the word. Right back to the beginning, all scripture is God-breathed. Don't ever let the devil deceive you that some of these scriptures can be ignored or passed by, or just because we don't understand them, they don't apply to us. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you want the verse. Know God's word, read it and believe it. Be in prayer and inquiring of God. Live in the light, avoiding dark things, dark places, ways, and people. That was the whole reason that God didn't want them to do anything with those cities in Israel, because they would drag them down. The same advice applies to us today. Don't hang out with people or with the friends that brought you to the dark places. Don't think you're immune to God, to the devil's snares that will use those people against you. Walk in forgiveness. Why? Because we are forgiven. If you don't walk in forgiveness, don't expect God to be forgiving of you, because it's a two-way street. You know the parable about the wicked servant. And be ready, keeping watch for Jesus' imminent return. And the last one, live rested. We cannot burn out. God designed rest. We are human. We're not bionic. We need to rest. That helps our mind to also just pause and let God. So you may think this is a hard, and you may think all this is hard, but all you need is a revelation of the truth, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to grow more like Jesus in obedience to His word. Throw off what is hindering you today. Cease from the lust of the flesh. Open your eyes and see the deceptions. Inquire of the Lord and decide today to make Jesus number one. Amen. Can we pray? I want you to interact with God. Kneel, stand up, do whatever. But if you say, Lord, you know what? I want to make sure that these things are right in my life. You know, your future starts now. What God can do with you and through you, if you avail yourself to the Spirit and put off the old self, is unimaginable. That verse comes to mind, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. People, God has been speaking to us about heart from beginning of last year. Heart, 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 heart. Because that's where we keep these little secrets. That's where we keep these things that stick to our desires. So I'm going to pray. If you want to stand and say, Lord, I'm making a declaration privately to you, you do that. This is not between me and you. This is between you and the Lord and me and the Lord. Lord, the deceptions of the devil are hidden in deep recesses of our hearts where we thought they were good things. We thought they were things to pursue. Today, Lord, we want to declare, and everyone here who's saying that in their hearts, Lord, wants to declare, Lord, we want to throw off the old self. We want to subject ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we want to let you in. We want to open the door for the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives so that we can put off the old self and be renewed in the attitude of our hearts and our minds for your glory, Lord. It's not about what we can achieve. It's not about what we can get in this world or who we can be or what people think of us, Lord. Help us to overcome our human nature by the power of the Holy Spirit and live sold out, Lord. Lord, when revivals come, it's because people change their hearts and their attitudes and they let you in mass. I pray, Lord, that revival would start in the hearts of people today to realize time is short. The depraved world we're living in is only going to get harder, Lord. We cannot hope to live in this world without you. Lord, I pray for every believer around the world that in this time needs to find you. We pray for those believers who are having it really tough in Russia and Ukraine. That they too, Lord, would have an intervention by the power of your Spirit as they've probably been stopped even from meeting and spending time with you, Lord, in that time. Come to their aid too, as we're asking you to come to our aid. By your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father, you love us. Thank you, Father, that the tears of Jesus on the cross were so sacrificial, genuinely wanting every single person, no matter how much they hated God, to come to you. But Lord, the devil's deceit is so subtle, misleading us just ever so slightly until we end up in the cul-de-sacs of our lives. I pray, Lord, you would help us navigate out of these places in our hearts give us the wisdom and the strategy for what to do tomorrow, and the next day, and the next month, and the next year, and set our course on you, Lord. That when we look back, we will see, wow, Father, you have done amazing things as we surrendered ourselves to you and your influence and your power and your Holy Spirit. Be with us, protect us, and keep us safe. Cover us all with the blood of Jesus. Use us in your service, Lord, to the mighty victory, the expansion of your kingdom, to the spreading of the word, and to making disciples in accordance with your instructions in the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Quentin. I really believe that's from the Lord. I just have an impression in my heart is that, you know, the racehorses run with blinkers so they can't see to the left and to the right, that they can keep focused. But I really just sense this is a word not just to hear, but to go and apply, because this thing of lust and deception, as much as we look out very easily and say, Putin's deceived and he wants deceived, maybe you deceived and you don't even know it. And why don't you know it? Because you need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. You might even be sitting here today and you're saying, I'm okay. And I'm telling you now, you're not. I sense the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not, because you're running with blinkers and you're looking at your own life from your perspective and not God's perspective. And you need to change. And you've got to do business with it. Only God can change you, but you've got to come humble before God and say, Lord, look at Abraham and look at David. They thought they were doing right, but they were wrong. And they needed a prophet to come and reveal to them. So maybe you're sitting here today, and your heart might even be hardened because you think you're right, but you're wrong. And God's not judging you. He wants you to change. And if that's you today, I'm asking you to do business with God, because he wants to reveal the truth to you that your path can be straight, not to the left and to the right, straight. So go and do business with God. I'm not going to do it now, but you in your quiet times, go before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Reveal to me, am I on the right path? Am I deceived? Am I walking in lust? And maybe you think, well, I am right, but actually be humble enough to say, Lord, I'm maybe not. And if I'm not, help me. Get me out of that path. And I really believe God will take you down that path. Amen.
Just to add, Mark, a daily diet of the word. If you're weekly in the word, become daily. God is not going to hit you over the head because you forgot to read the scriptures that day. But make it a habit. What Elsa brought is a word, the sword. We cannot do this without the word of God. And as you soak it in. So if you're not reading the word, start.
I just had a sense right from the beginning, bond servant. Now, in the old days, in the Israelites, they had a servant. He belonged to them. He did not belong to anybody else. They actually had an earring in their ear to say, this is my servant. And they wouldn't, a servant doesn't, if you employ a servant, he doesn't take instructions from your neighbor. He only takes instructions from you. And I believe that we need to be a bond servant. Jesus was a bond servant to the Father. He only did what the Father told him to do. So, and I believe this relates to the people that are getting baptized today. Because the Egyptians were, I mean, the Israelites were bond servants to Egypt. But then as they crossed the Red Sea, it was a spiritual declaration of becoming a bond servant to follow Jesus. So, yeah, I just say, Lord, we want to be your bond servants. Help us to be only listening to your voice. We declare today, Lord Jesus, we are no longer a bond servant to the world. We are bond servant to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And then I want to ask you, those of you that have not committed your life to the Lord, whether it is here today or online, if you wouldn't mind repeating after me. Thank you, Lord, that as I come before you today, Father, on my knees, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Lord, I open my heart to you, Father, that you can rule and reign over my life. Lord, that you renew my mind and that you renew my heart today. And Lord, I ask, Father, that going forward, Lord, that you are in control of my life, Father. And anyone, Lord, as your word says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We are calling on the name of the Lord today, that you save us in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that might not be feeling too well, or those of you that might need prayer, whether it be for what Quentin has spoken about now, whether it be for personal things, we are here after the service. If you need prayer, please come forward so that we can pray with you. Amen.